About a year ago, George was interviewing me, George Adamick, the rector here, he was interviewing me for the role of associate rector for youth and children's formation. And I remember we were sitting in this room, and he, one of the last things he told me in that conversation was that, he kind of slipped it in there. He said, oh, and by the way, Cary has, the town of Cary has the highest percentage of PhDs per capita of anywhere in the United States. And I took a deep breath and I thought to myself, okay, like, who's gonna who preaches to these people? But in any case, I was looking this weekend to try to find that statistic, and it's possible that I misheard George, or I'm misquoting him, or maybe he was teasing me a little bit. But in any case, his point stands, which is that here in Cary, we're hemmed in on all sides by some of the world's finest research institutions, and we are a people. I think we are a congregation who can appreciate the value of quality research, of fact checking, and of replicable results. And so in this sense, I think that Thomas, who's the protagonist of the gospel story today, I think Thomas is a sympathetic character to many of us. He wasn't with Mary Magdalene when the resurrected Jesus appeared to her for the first time. And he wasn't with those other disciples in that locked room when the resurrected Jesus appeared to them. And so Thomas needs an encounter of his own with Jesus. Thomas had the faith to ask Jesus to kind of put it out there and ask for an understanding of something that he didn't have yet. The writer and historian John Meacham, he writes about the problems of having an unexamined faith. He writes this. He says, "Uncritical certitude entails the rejection of one of the great human gifts, that of free will, of the liberty to make up our own minds based on evidence and tradition and reason." I think that this really gets at the fact that these gifts are gifts from God. So when we ask God for more, when we are curious, that's a gift that comes from God. After the sermon, before communion, we always say the Nicene Creed. And I've had friends come with me to church for the first time, to an Episcopal church for the first time, and I think I get the sense that the Nicene Creed can be a little abrupt, and some have even told me that. It's kind of like off-putting. All of a sudden, everyone's standing and saying what they believe at the same time, and you know, what if I don't believe those things? What if I still have questions? I think there are parts of the creed that, for some of us, at least for all of us at some point in our lives, I hope we wonder about, or maybe for some of us we even have trouble saying them. Or maybe we wonder if it's even okay to join our voices in with the crowd if we don't believe. Like, do we wonder maybe that makes us an imposter, or like, am I a liar if I'm saying these things out loud and I don't believe them? I think that Thomas shows us how to view our uncertainties as opportunities, not as liabilities. So I've come to appreciate over the years that the creed, the Nicene Creed especially, is said by a crowd, and it's the first person plural. We believe. It's not something that we are supposed to carry alone, this belief. The creeds are built on generations and generations of people whose voices have carried this forward, starting with Mary Magdalene, and then the other disciples, and then Thomas, and then a great cloud of witnesses that has come before us. On the first Easter, the women told of what they had seen, and the other disciples didn't believe that Jesus has risen from the dead. And those disciples needed encounters of their own. Thomas needed an encounter of his own. Thomas, who was somewhere along the way called Doubting Thomas, Thomas had the great faith, which is to say he just risked it all by putting it out there and asked God to appear to him. And some say that it's Thomas, you know, he believed in fact-checking. But I think more importantly, Thomas knew to ask God for what he needed, which was an encounter with Jesus. Interestingly, Jesus never tells Thomas what to believe in that encounter. It's Thomas that sees the risen Lord and says, "My Lord and my God." He sees him. And so he responds with joy and astonishment. Sometimes I think if Jesus had just told the disciples what to believe, it would have robbed them of that moment of joy and astonishment. And so it was after the encounter with the body of Jesus and his wounds, that Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." So when we come forward for the Eucharist, when we come to the table, we are coming to remember that the body of Christ was offered to Thomas and to all who have come after him and to all who will come after us. The body of Christ is offered for anyone who will come to the table and feed on God in their hearts by faith with thanksgiving. So this Easter season, I want to invite all of us to take a cue from Thomas and ask Jesus for an encounter. Ask Jesus to show you himself. Ask Jesus for what you need. And for all of us, we welcome you to the table to encounter the love of God for yourself.